Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Joe Rom, who is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and the founding editor of Climate Progress, which the New York Times columnist Tom Friedman called indispensable blog, and Time magazine named as one of the 25 best blogs of 2010. He was acting assistant secretary of energy for energy efficiency and renewable energy, where he oversaw $1 billion in R&D, demonstration, and deployment of low-carbon technology. And he has an article at Climate Progress, 60 Minutes Hit Job on Clean Energy Ignores the Facts. Welcome to Background Briefing, Joe Rom.
Thanks for having me.
And the 60 Minutes piece that was broadcast on Sunday, that was called The Clean Tech Crash, seemed to have ignored so much of what is actually out there in the zeitgeist, including on the day before, the New York Times front page story was on the solar power craze that's sweeping Wall Street, and that solar companies have the wind at their backs lately. So why did they go out of their way to bring up these earlier stories of Solyndra, which we're all familiar with? The Republicans beat that one to death. And, you know, Fisker cars, which we know have been a dud, but the other cars, of course, are doing incredibly well, Elon Musk's line of cars. So do you have any understanding of why they were so selective in presenting these negative examples, most of which are old and already irrelevant?
Well, I think they had come to an idea of how they wanted to frame their show, and I actually got posted on Climate Progress a comment from one of the people who was interviewed for the show, a guy named Robert Rapier, who said that he told 60 Minutes that clean tech is alive and well and there were a number of successes and that solar would eventually dominate every other energy source, but they chose not to use that. So I think they had an idea for this story. I think, you know, I don't know why. I do know that, you know, we're now in a mode where, people are critical of Obama, and so he's in a downswing mode, and people like to pile on. So that's why we heard, I think, about some of the, as you said, the really old news stories, whereas, you know, the real news is the amazing explosion of growth in solar power and wind power and LED lighting and electric cars, and the only thing that's crashed is the price of, you know, solar panels and LED lights and wind power and advanced batteries.
So why did they not refer then to the Department of Energy's recent report, Revolution Now, The Future Arrives, for four clean energy technologies? Now, I mean, that's a fairly significant report. I mean, obviously, they were basically suggesting here in their report that the Department of Energy has been wasting its money. But on the other hand, it would seem that they just simply haven't read the most up-to-date information.
Well, it was certainly frustrating to me. I was at the Department of Energy in the 1990s and helped run the Office of Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy. And we made a lot of investments. And, you know, it is very easy to focus on the failures. When you are investing in new technology that's trying to compete against, you know, huge industries that are like the oil industry or the electric utility industry, you're going to see a lot of failures. And one of the points I make in the piece on Climate Progress is, you know, venture capital, when it makes its investments, 3 out of 4 investments fail, and sometimes even more. But the point is, if you have one Google, you know, you can afford to have 9 failures. And we have seen stunning advances in the solar power market. For instance, a drop in price of solar panels of literally 99% in the past quarter century. Now, clearly, in a market environment where the price of solar panels is coming down that fast, some companies are going to fail, right? I mean, some companies are not going to be able to deal with those price cuts on the manufacturing side.
Yeah, but that's the way – that is literally how venture capital works. I mean, you don't always hit a winner.
No, absolutely. And so if you want to make – you could make any company look – any venture capital fund look bad if you just focus on the losers, because there's going to be more losers than winners. But the winners, for instance, in the solar arena – are mostly in the deployment side, because there has been a staggering, and I put the chart on the website on Climate Progress, that, you know, for instance, we've had, in the last 2.5 years, we have deployed as much solar power as we did in the previous 50 years combined. So, you know, we're literally exponential growth of solar deployment. So there are a lot of companies making a lot of money on the deployment side. And, you know, certainly there are some companies that were unable to match the price cuts on the manufacturing side.
Again, I'm speaking with Joe Rom, who is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and the founding editor of Climate Progress, which the New York Times columnist Tom Friedman called the indispensable blog, and Time magazine named as one of the 25 best blogs of 2010. He was acting assistant secretary of energy for energy efficiency and renewable energy, where he oversaw $1 billion in R&D demonstrations and deployment of low-carbon technology, and has an article at Climate Progress, 60 Minutes Hit Job on Clean Energy Ignores the Facts. Do you have, Joe, any data on what the ratio of hits to misses have been in the Department of Energy's investments? I mean,
that's the other irony is that in the case of the specific case of the Department of Energy loan program, they've had a 97% success rate. And people should be quite proud about that. It's really considerably better than what you get in the private sector. The public should also know that those are loan guarantees. So it isn't even putting all that money at risk. And by the way, in some of the cases that didn't succeed, the taxpayers get some of the money back. But the most important thing is that in the vast majority of cases, we get the loan back with interest. And at the end of the day, I think the net cost to the taxpayer of this program is going to be exceedingly low, whereas the benefits, which is the accelerated deployment of solar and wind and batteries and LED lighting, and the plummeting prices, and job creation. Another mistake that the 60 Minutes had was claiming there were no jobs created, when, in fact, the entire loan program has created over 50,000 jobs. So, you know, I think there's basically a good news story. But as you say, if you focus just on the losers, you can make it sound like the whole thing was not good taxpayer funding.
But the 60 Minutes piece, the clean tech crash, they focused on the very institution you're talking about, the Department of Energy's loan guarantee program. And you just told us that it was 97% successful. So why did they focus on the 3%, including Solyndra, which, again, is an old story that the Republicans have beaten to death? And also, let me know how much the taxpayer actually lost on that one as well.
Yeah, there's no question Solyndra was a big loss. And a few hundred million dollars were lost. And, Solyndra is a very interesting story, because it was a company that was part of a portfolio, and it was one of those companies that could not survive if the price of solar panels and silicon panels in particular kept dropping so sharply. It was a risky bet, but again, if you're making, you know, investments, if you're the government, it's your job to make risky investments. Your goal is to invest in technologies that the private sector isn't investing in, because they have a benefit to society that isn't reflected in the marketplace. For instance, we don't have carbon pollution from solar panels. And yet, you know, right now, carbon pollution doesn't have a price. And As a result, we underinvest in clean energy. So I don't think anybody could argue that we shouldn't invest in solar and wind power as a government. And I just, you know, as I said, I think it's just very unfair to focus on the small number of failures and not talk about the many successes.
But in the overall scheme of things, the fact that Solyndra failed for the reasons that you just enunciated indicates that alternative energy, clean tech, is working. If the price of solar panels is going down and that's what put them out of business, that's good news.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I don't think anyone realistically could have said that, you know, if the department's goal was to bring the price of solar panels down to the point where they would be cost effective without government subsidies. And we are just about getting that to there. In about 20% of the country, you don't need a subsidy for solar to be cost effective. But clearly, in this world of rapid cost cutting, some companies can't match those cost cuts and they go out of business. And you know, the funny thing is it's not the government's job to figure out and only invest in companies that are going to succeed in the marketplace. The government's job is to make a whole bunch of different bets to cover a bunch of different technology pathways, knowing that some pathways are going to work and some aren't going to work. I mean, obviously, if you knew in advance what was going to be the winning technology, you wouldn't need the government. The private sector would just bet on the winning technology. It's because there's a risk that there might be three or four different ways of achieving the same goal. There's many different ways of doing solar panels, and you bet on several of them, and if one of them works, that's success. But of course it may mean that one doesn't succeed, and you do, if you've got, you know, an opposition party like the Republicans, they will beat the failures to death and never talk about the successes. And that's why it's up to the media to be sophisticated enough, you know, to see through that and to understand what the bottom line is for the taxpayer, which is that the renewable energy program of the Department of Energy has succeeded, I think, beyond expectations.
Well, but what I find most dishonest about the CBS hit job on clean energy, the so-called clean tech crash that they broadcast on Sunday night, was that there was no context. They never mentioned climate change. They never mentioned global warming. They never mentioned greenhouse gas emissions. They never even used the word carbon dioxide, as though we're living in a completely different world from the one that is being threatened by climate change. Isn't that the context here? The reason, we're so far behind in any case, we should have been making these investments decades ago, and we know that the oil and gas and the nuclear and the coal lobby are immensely powerful. And you've got the Koch brothers, you've got ALEC, you've got all these organizations. You've got Rupert Murdoch, who's second biggest investor in News Corp after the Murdoch family, is the Saudi Arabian royal family, the Kingdom Fund. I mean, we know that there's so much money and power and influence on the part of the global warming deniers. So at least you should, if you talk about an alternative, you should tell us what it's an alternative to, which is the current disastrous situation.
Absolutely. And indeed, it's global warming and the reality of climate science tells us we are going to have to get off of fossil fuels over the next several decades. And so once you understand the science, then you know what the end game is. And to not explain that ultimately clean tech is going to dominate the marketplace because we're trying to avoid catastrophic global warming, if you don't explain that, then as you said, there's no context. The government is making these investments because we're in a race. We're in a race to get enough clean technology into the marketplace to bring the cost down, to allow the developed world and the developing world to transition over to carbon-free sources before, you know, we cross tipping points that are irreversible.
Well, just in closing, Joe Rahm, what do you think's happening to 60 Minutes? I mean, they've had that piece that was a valentine to the National Security Agency without mentioning any of the all of the issues that the public are now alarmed about because of the revelations from Edward Snowden about them spying on American citizens. That none of that was ever mentioned in that piece. And then, of course, there was the total embarrassment over the Benghazi piece where they had to fire the reporter for doing this absolutely ridiculous, phony warrior, his version of the Benghazi story, which, of course, the Republicans have been beating to death as they have the Solyndra story. So do you have any sense of what's happened to that 60 Minutes investigative reporting program that used to be considered a kind of blue chip?
Well, I don't know exactly. In my experience in the dealing with the media, my father is a newspaper editor for three decades, and I have worked with journalists. That type of systemic problem comes from the producers and the management. I tend to find that most individual reporters are pretty, you know, hardworking. If there is a spate of shows that are not up to standard, then it's the people who are in charge of the production and management who are dropping the ball.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Joe Rahm.
Well, thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Joe Rahm, who's a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and the founding editor of Climate Progress, which the New York Times columnist Tom Friedman called the indispensable blog and Time magazine named as one of the 25 best blogs of 2010. He was acting Assistant Secretary of Energy for Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy, where he oversaw $1 billion in R&D, demonstration and deployment of low-carbon technology. And he has an article at Climate Progress, 60 Minutes Hit Job on Clean Energy Ignores the Facts. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.